Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Put out for you! Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Welcome to the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. The Celtics fall tonight 101-92 to the Chicago Bulls. This is Nick Gelso, and I'm joined tonight by Corey Prescott. Corey, what's going on? Another loss for our Celtics.
Nick, how you doing?
Doing well, man. You?
Doing all right. One of those games that, as a diehard Celtics fan, you kind of weren't too excited for coming off of last night's tough defeat against the Pistons. And, you know, with Brad Stevens gone for, some disappointing circumstances, the loss was kind of to be expected. But they fought hard, they played dumb, and in the end, the better team won.
Yeah, I think you said it well there. And the Celtics, again, tough on the road. I think we expected a bit more coming off of, like you said, a tough loss against the Pistons. And you have to be concerned. That locker room seems to be a bit in disarray. And then with Stevens away as well, I don't think it makes it any better. One thing jumps right out at me, man. David Lee, zero playing time again, DNP. Is Lee gone?
It appears that way. I would have liked to see him tonight. I know his defense leaves a lot to be desired, but the team hasn't been putting the ball in the basket lately, and that's what Lee's strength is at this point in his career. He can go against any other post player and put in points, grab rebounds. You know he's going to be excited to come in. He's going to play hard. He's still a team guy, but it appears that a trade is likely on the way. I'm not sure if the circumstances call for him to be released or if that's able to be negotiated with Danny Ainge, if they negotiate a buyout. But, he's getting these DNPs for coach decisions on a nightly basis now, and it's got to be disheartening for him. And I would have liked to see him a little bit tonight.
Yeah, if you checked out the CLNS Radio YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNSradio, big topic of discussion on the Garden Report last night was David Lee, and Lee himself, short with the media, made comments, that were, I think that he was trying to be as professional as possible, but clearly he's frustrated, and I think he expected to play today as well, or tonight as well, and Danny Ainge was on CSN or one of the channels up in New England today, and maybe Tucker and Rich.
Tucker and Rich.
Yeah, and, they let him into the question, said it wasn't related to Lee, but how do you deal with players looking for a trade? And Danny certainly didn't deny David Lee was looking for a trade or not, just kind of said, players have to be a bit more patient. So I don't know. I thought tonight would have been the night you would, and I think Lee thought that too, just from taking his short, brief comments in the locker room after the Pistons game. Last night, I thought tonight would have been the night you would have seen David Lee play a little bit more. And coach decided to go with Zeller and Johnson and Sully and Olenek.
Yeah, well, I had the quote up here. Lee talks about his time last year in Golden State, and that was kind of a different circumstance. He got hurt. Draymond Green came in, and obviously the Warriors won the championship. So that's a bit different than the situation now. He says, starts quote, "This situation is a bit more frustrating, and by no means am I accepting of the situation, and that's the first thing that I told Brad." And he's professional about it. but clearly he's not happy. He's not accepting of being a bench warmer, and nor should he. I'm not sure what they could do. I understand why they want to play Zeller. I think he's a better defensive player at this point, and he can match up with Chicago's bigs a lot better. I mean, Paul Gasol, I was having flashbacks to 2010 that game.
Yeah.
18 rebounds, just grabbing rebounds over Sully and Olynyk. They thought Zeller could help neutralize him, and it didn't work.
No, and Zeller is definitely more mobile. I mean, it's noticeable than David Lee is as well. I mean, Lee has just played with cinder blocks on his feet, and I think it's just he is older and taking longer to come back from an injury that's, what, two seasons old now almost.
Yeah, he is. I think he's 32 or 33. He played 4 years in college, so he has a lot of miles on those legs, and he was never a leaper. He was pretty good athletic ability, but he was never a high flyer. And he seems especially grounded this year. He still has a scoring ability, but when you're jumping, you know, a couple inches off the ground, it's tough to score.
Well, like I said, Celtics post game show, CLNS Radio. This year, 2016, CLNS Radio has teamed up with Tick IQ, to bring you Celtics tickets monthly. And in the month of January, we're giving away tickets to February 10th game. It's Paul Pierce and Doc Rivers' return to TD Garden and with the Los Angeles Clippers to play the Celtics. CLNS Radio and Tick IQ have teamed up to get you in the building. Simply follow at CLNS Radio on Twitter, and you will be entered to win the contest for a pair of tickets. It's underway now. Again, simply follow at CLNS Radio on Twitter, and the winner will be drawn last episode of Celtics Beat this month on January 31st. Don't forget, purchase all your Boston tickets, any tickets actually, concerts, shows, anything, by downloading the Tick IQ app for the iPhone and Android. You'll receive 10% off your first purchase using the promo code Boston. That's it. Download Tick IQ, use the promo code Boston on checkout, and get 10% off. Follow CLNS Radio on Twitter. You get a chance to win Clippers Celtics tickets. Again, back, you know, just, and we're going to go to the call lines quick. We're going to keep it pretty brief tonight, but before we do, I just want to, again, go over the locker room situation. I mean, Corey, you've covered the locker room too, and this is a pretty loose locker room. And right now, it's obviously they're losing. It's not a good situation. No one's happy the way it is. But you could clearly cut the tension with a knife, yet all the players are trying to really back up Brad Stevens. But at the same time, it's the same story really since the first – week of the regular season, which are first couple weeks of the regular season, when Jay Crowder and Lee started to get vocal about rotations and minutes, and we're seeing that come up again. Noticeable last night, Wednesday night, was Isaiah Thomas's comments after the game. Really, again, not railroading Stevens, and also saying his minutes are obviously good, but he could see how other people are frustrated and having a hard time really getting into any rhythm with the current rotations.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is frustrating that there is no set rotation this far into the year. I mean, we're almost halfway through. But at the same time, I mean, I think Brad Stevens would love to have a set rotation. The reason is because nobody's really distanced themselves to earn significant minutes outside of Jay Crowder and obviously Isaiah Thomas. Marcus Smart came back, and I thought he played well tonight, but he continues to shoot under he's shooting under 40% this year. He's a liability on offense sometimes. Turner has his games where he turns the ball over too much. Amir Johnson is getting up there in age. Olynyk's starting to distinguish himself, but, I mean, it's been inconsistent the whole year. If we had the horses this year, if we had a set rotation, things would be going smoothly, obviously. We were winning earlier this year, and when you win, things get brushed under the table. But now that they're struggling, and more specifically, they're really struggling to score. They haven't really been shooting too well these past few games, and that's where the frustration starts to set in.
That, and I think you have one of the clear weaknesses of this team is perimeter shooting. It's three-point shooting. This team can definitely get to the rack. You got guys like Isaiah Thomas, Marcus Smart, and Evan Turner, just to name a couple, Bradley, when he's healthy, these guys could pretty much get to the line at will. They could get to the rim, and yet we continue to shoot three-point shots, 5 of 25, 20% from three tonight for the Celtics. Ain't going to do it, not against the Chicago team, who, you know, launched 22 threes of their own but almost hit 50%.
Yeah. You bring up a good point, actually. I know. I think Weber brought it up on the telecast, but the Celtics are one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. I mean, you don't really see it because they've scored so many points this year and they've had a really successful season as far as offensive basketball goes. But right now they're 26th in the league in three-point shooting percentage, you know, among teams like the Lakers, the Sixers, the Nets, maybe Grizzlies are on there too. But yeah, they don't really have that three-point shooter. Some optimists could have seen RJ Hunter kind of coming in and hitting some shots, yeah. But he's struggled and he's a rookie. Obviously needs to gain a lot more weight, but they don't have that 3-point shooter. By all means, Evan Turner needs to stop shooting threes. I mean, he's shooting 50% this season. I think he needs to sit inside the paint and go to the hole every time. Isaiah's really struggling with his shot, yeah. And when he's struggling, the team usually struggles as a whole.
That's it, because you're looking at an undersized point guard being your go-to guy on offense, especially with Bradley out. And that's another thing. Your three-point shot is obviously going to suffer there as well with Bradley being out. But, yeah, I mean, Isaiah's really struggled, and it really, really shows the Celtics' vulnerability from an offensive standpoint, a leadership standpoint, when Isaiah's struggling. And a team that's obviously supposedly deep 1 through 10 needs 8 of those 10 to perform every night. And you look at tonight, they really went to a 7-man rotation, 6-7-man rotation, and didn't get much performance from much of anybody, but Amir Johnson played very well.
He did. I saw Solinger and Olynyk actually played pretty well. I mean, that's strange. The front court played well, but the back court was pretty much non-existent.
Yep. It's so inconsistent.
With Isaiah Thomas, I don't know if you saw this, but I mean, tonight his body language just looked terrible. It looked like he didn't even want to be there. More turnovers and assists from your starting point guard, it can't happen.
Yeah, I'm a big body language guy, and I mean, that's one thing. I mean, I think that goes back to the Pistons game where Isaiah obviously struggled. He was missing free throws, which is so rare against the Pistons on Wednesday. And clearly after the game, everything about what he was taught when he was talking showed I don't want to say disinterest, but definite frustration, which is it's a tough thing, because you look at a guy like Isaiah and, you know, though he's quiet, he's usually pretty optimistic. So, you know, with the exception of a couple quick box score highlights or lowlights, with the exception of Sully, just about everybody was a big negative in the plus minus. Again, donuts all the way across the board for David Leaf, $15 million sitting on the bench doing absolutely nothing. And overall, in a game where the Celtics really need to come back, and again, I think you brought something up really important at the top of the show, which was in a game where the Celtics need to come back, we knew it was going to be a tough game. They need a bounce back win. Their locker room is a little bit tense, a little bit of tension going on there. And obviously for good reason, Brad Stevens has to travel down south and is unable to coach tonight, so you're coachless as well. Just bad circumstances for the Celtics. And with that in mind, Corey, let's open up the FanDuel call lines. Toll-free, 347-215-7771. I'll be taking your calls right now on the FanDuel call lines. CLNS radio lines are powered by FanDuel. The NBA season is now midway through. On FanDuel, you can play against your friends anytime. Head-to-head, private leagues, it's never been easier. You think you know basketball? Prove it at FanDuel.com, and do so by going to FanDuel.com using the promo code Celtics, and FanDuel will match your losses up to $10. You can pretty much play for free. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season, promo code Celtics. So let's go right to the call lines and get to our good buddies. Pretty much like the third host on every Celtics postgame show. I kind of love it. It's Nick Sesento from the We Bleed Green Celtics group. What's going on, man? Boston Celtics Bleed Green Facebook group.
Nick, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, brother? I know you're going to be tearing tonight. You're probably going to be rant for a good 10 minutes, which will take us right to the end of the show, so go for it.
No, I don't know about that. I mean, it comes to a point, I mean, at least this is a good team, but it comes to a point where you watch us, you know, kind of collapse night after night to where the pain kind of goes away, and that's not a good thing for fans when your team starts losing and you stop feeling, you know what I'm saying, the pain of the losses. That's, you know, that's when, you know, the ambivalence kind of, you know, sets in where, well, we're not going to go anywhere anyway. We'll probably get the eighth or seventh seed and play Cleveland and then you get, you know, lose again. We're not going to go. Nobody's going to start this season the tank talk because we're way too far away from tanking. But I think that, you know, legitimately, like, that's idiotic. It should never even be a discussion, especially with the Brooklyn pick. I mean, there's nobody talking the tank stuff like they were last season and the season before. But, I mean, at this point, we expected, I think, the team to build, and I've said this before on the show, we expected the team to build off the momentum they had going into the playoffs last season. And instead of doing that, it's kind of been like this up and down, inconsistent, you know, stuff. The rotation has changed a whole lot. And speaking of the rotation, I'd like to get to that point real quick about, you know, Isaiah Thomas calling out saying we need, you know, a more set rotation. What does he expect? I mean, Isaiah himself has been out with an injury for, I think, this season. Avery Bradley's been out with an injury. Marcus Smart has been out for most of the season with an injury. Amir was out for a few games with an injury. I mean, we've had injuries up and down the roster. Obviously, we're not going to have, you know, a continuity there when it comes to the rotation. Now, could we, you know, limit some of the things down? Sure. But, I mean, that's what happens when you cut down some of those minutes is you get guys like David Lee, you know, grumbling and mumbling on, you know, in the pressers, not saying, you know, not quite going as far as saying he wants a trade. But, I mean, everybody in the universe knows he wants a trade. And I think everybody in other universes and multi-dimensions know that Ainge wants to trade him. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, he's just not wanted. And I think that, you know, maybe putting him in the game would help. I don't think that he's lost everything that he's got. But, I mean,
I think not wanted might be a bit harsh, but
yeah, sure.
He certainly doesn't fit into the system all that well. I think Isaiah, you know, when you're talking about – I agree with you. The injuries have been an issue, especially with the backcourt. But the front court has been just so all over the place minute-wise. I mean, you went from Tyler Zeller, Corey, weeks of DNPs. I think you were on the Garden Report one night where that was a topic of discussion. And now Zeller is getting majority of Lee's minutes. Lee's getting 0 minutes. Sully is back to the bench, which is fine with me. Olenek becomes the go-to guy as far as the front court. You got Olenek and Johnson. I mean, it's just been – I can't even figure it out, Corey.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many minutes to go around. That's the problem. And they brought in Amir Johnson. They paid him well. They have Olenek and Sullinger, who they're counting on to develop and progress as younger players. And they had Zeller last year, but they decided to go out and get David Lee. I was in favor of the trade to begin with, getting David Lee for Gerald Wallace's rotting corpse on the end of the bench. It seemed like a no-brainer. He was a, you know, 2010 guy in the past. I mean, a couple seasons ago, I think he made the All-Star team.
It was worth
so getting a veteran guy like that. Yeah. It could only have been better. But Ainge, I think he really underestimated how much it muddied up the bench. It makes Stevens' job a lot harder just trying to decide who's going to be playing. I mean, these guys all want to play. They're getting paid millions of dollars and, you know, it's easy for them to sit in their laurels, sit in the bench and collect their money, but they're professionals. They've been playing their whole lives. This is what they do. So you can kind of expect frustration.
It's frustrating, though, too, though. Everybody kind of, it seems to me at this point, yeah, everybody should want to play. You would hope to see it develop into an environment where everybody is competing, especially in practice with one another to play. Yet there seems to be, especially maybe from Lee, and I might be being a bit too harsh, but seems to be an expectation to play. And it kind of reminds me, and I mean, anybody who knows me well knows I'm a big Ray Allen fan, but Ray would make very passive aggressive comments like Lee was doing in the presser, especially in 2012. Kind of reminds me of that passive aggressive nature where it's like, you know, I'm making it pretty clear I deserve to be a key player in this rotation, if not a starter. And I'm not real happy, but I want to get back on the court for the Celtics. He's basically giving himself an advertisement for the next team to come up and want to pick up his salary. Nick, thoughts?
Well, I mean, I just hope that we can get something out of David Lee. I mean, a buyout would be, you know, not the best thing, I think, because obviously I think Ainge brought him in either to contribute, but probably more than likely to, you know, see what he can do, show that he can still play a little bit of basketball despite the injury that kept him out of most of last season, and maybe bring in some type of, you know, some type of return for him. But I mean, at this stage in the game, we've seen what he can do, you know, playing, you know, for the Celtics. I don't know what return we're expecting to get from David Lee. We basically just traded, and this really is what happened, traded Gerald Wallace's, you know, spot on the bench for David Lee's spot on the bench. And
paid $5 million more for it. $5 million
more for it. And he's going to be – he was the idea, I think, is show that he can play a little bit and get a little, you know, in some, you know, maybe like, you know, rotation minutes, maybe not a starter, but, you know, get his little minutes. And then he can be the big, you know, salary that augments, you know, maybe one of the picks, or that augments maybe one of the younger players that we're not really committed to then bring in, you know, something better. And we've served that purpose now. I mean, we don't need to see more of David Lee, you know what I mean, to get it. I think, if anything, I think narrowing down the rotation is probably not a bad idea. But I think,
Go ahead. Well, here's the thing that's concerning, and Jeff Clark brought it up today on Celtics blog in a good blog post. You know, you're a month away from the trade deadline. You're getting into muddy water because, for all intents and purposes, Lee coming into this season, he certainly wasn't worth the $15 million we're paying him, but he was worth the risk. And I think his stock has dropped so much in the first half of the regular season, especially with the fact that he's been – I don't know how many games he's missed due to coach resting or injury, but it's not been much. So he's been relatively healthy. You're midway through the season, 30 days from the trade deadline. His stock is dropping rapidly. I mean, it wasn't so long ago we were saying Tyler Zeller's a goner at the trade deadline. And here now, today, we're looking at Lee going with a really dropped value. What are teams going to trade up for him?
Probably nothing, right?
Right.
I mean, I think we're looking at a second round pick. I think it's probably if we're lucky, we'll get a second round pick. Which are I mean, we have something like 4 first round picks coming up in the next couple of years, and then, you know, add another second round pick. I think those are the things. But you can't, you know, when you're trading for players, if Ainge's goal is to get, you know, some type of, I don't want to say veteran because it kind of like implies that we're talking about like older players, but if Ainge wants to get, you know, somebody that's, you know, just before he hits his prime, but somebody that can contribute in exchange for these things, it's just not going to happen. He's going to probably get about a second round pick, and then, you know, we have to have some player to throw in with those picks to offset, you know what I mean, the differences in salary. So even if we only get a little pick, we still got to find, you know, we still got to take something back, you know, to balance out the set. If we use David Lee to get a second round pick, we still got to take another player back, an expiring contract, something else.
David Lee,
you know,
for a second round pick, that's just
it
but
is disgusting,
true,
but
it's disgusting. But you know what the thing about it is that's really disgusting is before he laced up his sneakers this season, he was more valuable than he is right now. And every game he's a DNP, he's dropping in value. He's going out now on an advertisement. I mean, Wednesday night's passive-aggressive presser from David Lee was basically saying to other teams, I could suck it up because I'm a team player. You know, I mean, he was giving himself a nice marketing campaign there. I don't know necessarily he was trying to keep the Celtics locker room together because there's certainly something going on behind those doors other than the obvious that is – tense and not a fun place to be right now. Besides the fact they're losing, but they're losing poorly too. And I think that another thing that deserves to be mentioned too. Let's think. We were all thinking 2008 type splash, right? I don't know. I mean, at this point, we don't have many anchor players to draw in many great players from other teams. If you're not looking and to build through the draft, you're looking at another several years of a rebuild. Mm-hmm. On a coach that is really our biggest asset right now, PR-wise, who's midway through his contract, if not more. it's a scary situation. Of course, I'm not a cliff jumper, but it's a scary situation. No. It's fragile.
Yeah, don't go jumping off any cliffs, please.
No, I'm not.
All right. No, they're gonna be fine. They have nice players. They have side dishes. They have marinades and spices. They don't have the main course right now. Jay Crowder's really developing nicely, as is Avery Bradley, and they have so many draft picks. You have to think at some point, every now and then a superstar becomes available. We saw it last year. The past couple of years with Kevin Love and James Harden, a guy becomes
Aldridge,
available,
yeah.
And Aldridge, and it's going to keep happening. The Celtics keep grabbing these picks. The Nets pick, if they want it, I mean, they could really trade that and get a superstar. I'm not so sure they really want to trade that pick at this point, but they're going to be fine going into the future. They're set up nicely, and Ainge has done this before.
To get that player is you're going to have – to get a difference maker, you're going to have to give up a difference maker. It's not one of these things where you go on, you know, Facebook or Twitter and it's like, hey, let's trade, you know, Jared Sullinger and Marcus Thornton, who's playing in China, for Anthony Davis or something. That doesn't happen, you know, so we're going to have to give up a Jay Crowder or somebody to get somebody in return.
Yeah, it's not to go to the trade machine or NBA Live or NBA 2K and turn off all the rules and make the trades. And saying that too, like 2008, you know, you had an Al Jefferson to trade up. You had a Paul Pierce in on the team already. And then we still couldn't get KG. You had to trade up that number 5 pick. I think it was the 5th pick in the draft for Ray Allen. And what happened to be ended up being Big Baby, if I'm correct on that. So even with Pierce, you couldn't get – and dishing off the entire team for KG, you still couldn't convince KG to come to Boston without Ray Allen. So I don't know if there's enough sauce in the pot to really attract a marquee player. I don't know. Corey, I want to go to you on that, but my biggest concern, I guess, is that if we have to build through the draft solely, you're looking at another – several years of this type of basketball, middle of the road basketball. Go ahead, Corey.
Well, yeah, going off that point about the draft, maybe they want to go that way. Maybe they want to develop through the draft. We've seen it with the Warriors. Their core was developed through the draft. I mean, Draymond Green was the second round pick. The Oklahoma City Thunder picked Harden, Westbrook, Durant. I mean, they got lucky getting those players, but they did their research and they developed quickly through the draft.
Yeah.
With a number 3 pick, if Brooklyn lands a number 3, they get an impact player at that. They have Dallas's pick, they have their own pick. Maybe they can move up to the top 10.
Possibly Minnesota's, right.
But there are quick ways to develop through the draft as long as you get an impact guy with that first pick.
Let's just not forget that Evan Turner was the number 1 pick.
Number two.
Number two. There you go. Okay.
Let's not get on Evan Turner, who had a fantastic game tonight. By the way, I like the fact that the one and only thing mentioned thus far on the show about Evan Turner was
you right into that, Nick. His
turnovers. Isaiah Thomas had more turnovers than Evan Turner, and as a matter of fact, I've had this discussion so many times because, as you well know, Nick, that I'm the Evan Turner guy, and I had this discussion with somebody who said, that if you counted by any measure, that Evan Turner's assist to turnover ratio or assist numbers are higher by any measure than Isaiah Thomas's turnovers, and that's actually not true. Evan Turner averages fewer turnovers per game, per 36 minutes, and per 100 possessions than Isaiah Thomas. And on top of that, he gives you these 5 or 6 rebounds a game. And then, even if he had 3 turnovers tonight, he had 4 steals. Now I go on, you know that I run the Boston Celtics Bleed Green, you know, forum on Facebook. I talk to people on other groups as well, you know, on Twitter and stuff. I try to, you know, follow what people say, read the blogs, read the articles, and it's nonstop bashing. But look at the stat line for Evan Turner: 10 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. I mean, it's insane to me that people will call this mediocre. I mean, it would be mediocre if he averaged 10 points and maybe 4 rebounds. You know, that's mediocre. But someone who can average, you know, 5 rebounds and 5 assists while also averaging 10 points, that's somebody who's doing a whole lot of things. It's interesting. I'll let you guys go. I don't want to hold you for too long. But I'm a teacher. I teach high school, and most of my students – down here attend one of the many sports academies. IMG Academy is down here in the Tampa Bay area. We have a ton of basketball academies, Out-of-Door Academy, all these other academies. A lot of my players, a lot of my students are aspiring basketball players, you know, prep basketball players. And I asked him, I said, what do you think about Evan Turner? Oh, man, he sucks. He's garbage. He was number two pick, and he used to be good, but he's trash. And then I asked him, okay, well, what if you make – when I don't say if. I tell them when because I like to stroke the ego. I say, when you guys make it to the NBA, and all is said and done, and you look at your career stats, and your career stats end up being 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists, how would you feel about your career? And they say, oh, that's not bad at all. Of course I'd want it to be more, but that's not bad at all. The thing is that people see Evan Turner, and all they see is the number two pick. That's all they see. He's not a number two pick. He was obviously, for being a number two pick, he hasn't lived up to that potential. So when I say that he's underrated, he was clearly overrated coming out of the draft. But considering the fact that he's been so maligned because of where Philadelphia picked him and he never really lived up to that full potential, he's underrated because he gives you something every single night. And I'm sorry, but I just think that he's a better ball handler than Isaiah Thomas. I think Isaiah Thomas is great at the hard push. I think he's great when you're coming out the gates early in the game and you're running. But when them legs get tired and when the game slows down to half court, I want the ball in Evan Turner's hands, and I think you can see from Brad Stevens, he does the same thing. Evan Turner just, to me, and I've seen all the statistics, the advanced stats, and I love these people that come on there, and it's like all they have to do is just throw a whole bunch of numbers and a whole bunch of little, you know, alliterations or whatever, abbreviations for whatever status, you know, advanced stat there you're trying to possess, and then suddenly they look like geniuses because there's a bunch of, you know, percentages and numbers and stats and everything everywhere.
Here's the thing. First of all, I like Turner. I think you know. I mean, let's put it this way. I purposely convert Turner's interviews into Facebook videos for you guys in your group because I know you guys all love Turner. And I enjoy Turner as well. I think that I think Ty Ray calls him the utility knife and the Swiss Army knife. I think that's a good way to describe it. Yeah, I think he's a keeper. I do. I think his stock continues to grow up. I think all Corey mentioned was that he's got to stop shooting threes, and I agree because his strength is in his strength. He's got to be driving in the hoop. Don't get too fancy with the ball. Don't try to make too many decisions. Just play hard, get to the rack, and he'll succeed. And as far as Isaiah Thomas goes, in an ideal world, Isaiah Thomas is your sixth man.
Yeah.
So he's not handling the ball. I mean, you know, he's coming off. He's well better than an Eddie House type character, but he's a microwave type player. He's coming in, giving you quick pops. You know, he's down the stretch so he can shoot free throws, but he's not handling the ball. I think in an ideal world, you want Marcus Smart handling the ball, but I think Marcus Smart can't stay healthy. I think he's proven he cannot. I mean, his scoring has just been awful. He's trying to come back. I understand he's trying to find his legs, but, you know, he just can't stay healthy. It's not an ideal world right now. And again, you have a 12-man roster that is identity-less as far as a leader goes, and unfortunately it's falling on a 5'9" point guard to try to be your scoring leader. Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, well, you hit it right in the head. Isaiah's never really been the man until last year when he came on like gangbusters for, you know, a surprising Celtics squad. He always had, you know, Boogie Cousins in Sacramento, and then when he went to Phoenix for that half a season, he had a number of different guys to turn to, and now he's being asked to carry the load on offense, to do everything. I mean, he shoots the ball on average 6 more times than Jay Crowder, you know, 4 more times than Avery Bradley, and everyone else is in single digits. It's probably taken a toll on him, and we have to remember he's only 5'9", 170, so
and okay, he's
that
beat up
side, it's kind of hurt.
He's mopping up the floor nonstop, and I think that I think people are definitely too tough on Turner, although he sets us up so perfectly with that sweater he was wearing the other night. But you know,
hey, that sweater was fresh, though. I'd wear that. That was that old school Coogee sweater. That's awesome. Haven't you ever seen the old Biggie Smalls Notorious B.I.G. video back when he wore those?
Of course,
the Cosby sweater.
That's where I was going.
That's why.
Do you want your man in a Bill Cosby sweater? Oh my God, Nick. On that note. Have a good night. Check out Boston Celtics Bleed Green group on Facebook. One of my favorite places to be on game night. That's Nick Sesento. Thanks for calling in,
thanks,
buddy.
Nick. Thanks,
appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. So, yeah, he brings up a good point, but I think he's tough on Isaiah there, too, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
he definitely is a little bit tough on him.
You mentioned Isaiah's body language. You know, I mentioned it last night as far as playing poorly last Wednesday night and then, you know, locker room comments. But it's quite possible Isaiah is a bit burnt out. I don't know if I want to say banged up because I think he, knock on wood, I think he's healthy. But it could be that he's just a bit burnt out. And you're right. He's never have to be the man. And he's right now having to be the man. And the pressure might be getting him a bit.
Yeah, I don't know where I heard it. I might have heard on the radio a couple of days ago with Mike Gorman talking about his minutes played. But I think the Celtics are trying to keep it in the 20s or just trying to keep him fresh. And right now he's averaging about 32, close to 33 minutes per game, which would be, you know, second in his career. But also he's shooting the most in his career. So he's having to take the burden of the load. And he's obviously the focal point of every possession he's handling the ball. And
yep.
I know Brad Stevens has actually done a pretty good job of putting him off the ball, coming off screens, but that doesn't really work. He's not a sharp shooter, like, you know, a three-point sharp shooter like you'd like mm-hmm. to have. Mm-hmm. So that hasn't worked out too well. But you'd really like to see him get back to more of last season if they could somehow get him to come off the bench again or maybe just limit his minutes a little bit just to keep him fresh. Because I think this team still has – postseason potential, and you really need him down the stretch.
Well, I sure hope they do. And I mean, I think Mark Spears from Yahoo Sports was on Celtics Beat on Sunday, this past Sunday, and he had brought up a really good point about the East being very tight right now. But the East has not really had to go full force against the West yet, because that usually happens after the All-Star break, where Eastern teams start going on their longer West Coast swings. And so that record, those records might start to, and the gap might start to widen between teams and give the Celtics an ability to be able to squeeze into that seventh seed. Or it's just, I gone are the days where the Celtics are considered a 50 win team, because I never thought it. I don't think you did either. But there were people out there making predictions, 50 wins. It's like, what are you out of your mind? And, I think that's pretty much gone. Speaking of Celtics Beat, we got Brian Scalabrine this Sunday. He's joining Larry on Celtics Beat. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app, clnsradio.com/iOS free or clnsradio.com/Android. Pick up Celtics Beat early on Sunday morning, and we got Scal this Sunday.
That's a great guest.
That's a good guest, yeah, Scalabrine. So, guys at Comcast are terrific. I don't know if you would watch the 86 special last night. Now it's running, I guess, a 14-part series, but it's starting off very, very strong. They focused on Red bringing the team together, that starting five together. It really went back to, you know, 1978 with Larry Bird being traded the year before he was eligible, or not being traded, being drafted the year before he was eligible. And it made me think of that tonight, because we were talking about growing through the draft. The Celtics have never – since that year where they picked up Bird, and then the next 2 years later, McHale and traded for Parrish, they never really had much luck with the draft.
No, they never had the number one pick. I mean, we've had multiple chances at that. And even like the last championship was basically manufactured through getting assets and then turning them into chips. And they actually turned out pretty great that first season. I don't know if you consider it a disappointment if they only won one, they went to two. I'd say it was maybe a minor disappointment, but they did get that one, get them to 17.
Yeah, I mean, we could go over this over and over. Yeah. I think that the disappointing year probably is 2011 in my mind when they traded Perkins. I think 2008, amazing. 2009 could have very easily been a repeat if KG was healthy. I mean, they still won 60 plus games that year, but you see them probably falling out there. 2010, Perk goes down. Okay, you lose in the finals. 2011, I think, was the year that really stung. They lost in the second round to Miami, I think.
Yeah, that was LeBron's first year in Miami.
Yeah, that to me, I think, stung worse than anything. And I think a lot of it was because the team was cracked up too with Perk getting shipped out and Jeff Green really not fitting in, and Shaq was, they chose to go with Shaq and he couldn't stay on the court. I was at that game where Shaq's last game, actually, where they played the Superman theme and everything. It was a sad state of affairs. Even covering the locker room that night, that was the night that KG turned into Kareem, just went nuts. But the Celtics never really were able to come back. I look at that as a win. I mean, they rebuilt the culture overnight with that Ray Allen. You know, they traded the draft pick, picked up Ray, and then traded for Garnett. So, man, we'll see what happens, man. I mean, it's a long season. It's a long haul. I guess I think my concern, and I'm overstressing it, is, you know, building through the draft at this point. You're midway through Stevens' contract. He's the big PR piece right now. We know his value has just increased greatly. I don't know that he's going anywhere. If anything, maybe he goes back to college or stays put. But to then have a rebuild and a coach change, if that's going to happen, and you're trying to build through youth, that's a scary thing for me. So I guess that's why I'm harping on it. But again, like you said, overnight, everything could change.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a process, and it all depends on who's available. I mean, I don't think there's ever going to be a guy like KG available, just the way the salary caps are structured and how the CBA, it helps small market teams retain their own guys. So, like, Anthony Davis isn't going anywhere. I don't think DeMarcus Cousins is going anywhere. I think Sacramento really just is going to make that work. Even if it doesn't work, they're gonna try and make it fit.
That was another thing Spears brought up on Sunday, was just how much Sacramento is in love with Cousins, how great of a guy he is off the court, because he's got a really bad rep on the court, and how Cousins just absolutely will not let Rajon Rondo go. So that nucleus probably isn't going much of anywhere. And also, they're building a new arena, trying to reface the entire franchise. So I think Cousins stays put. Go ahead.
I think you hit it right. I can't even think of anyone else is out there. I mean, I guess Durant, but Durant's either what I've read is he's probably going to sign like a 1-year deal in Oklahoma City and wait for the salary cap to reach its peak. Or I'm not too sure about the financial stipulations, but he's going to play his cards right, sign a 1-year deal in Oklahoma City, and then possibly sign long term there, or go to DC, go back home. But I mean, if the Celtics didn't even get a meeting, that'd be nice.
Well, and I think that's everybody's dream, and I think that's what's all. I mean, it's a long season, but that's also what's kind of frustrating about this bit of a skid right now, is that not so much of a losing streak as it is the team morale, because I think there's been a real feeling around the league that players want to play for the Celtics, they want to play for Brad Stevens, and they want to play with this team that's really improving and ready to start competing. And then you see this little bit of a morale bump, and you don't want to take anything away from the potential of a guy like Durant coming to Boston, which would put him in the Northeast and not too far away from D.C. on a plane flight. It's 45 minutes, you know, an hour. So anyway, the Celtics continue their road trip on – let's see here. I know on Sunday they're going, to Memphis, and then finish it off on Tuesday at MSG. So what are you seeing out of those two games? Can the Celtics pick up one of two of two, or are you looking at extending this losing streak?
Yeah, well, they have a really good opportunity in Memphis. We all see Memphis as a team, the defensive stalwart. They brought a lot of their guys back in Gasol, Randolph, Mike Conley's there. But they're secretly one of the worst defensive teams in the league, and they can be beat. They're really struggling as well. I think their record's about the same as the Celtics. The Celtics have off until Sunday, which gives them, you know, a few days rest, which they definitely need. They'll get Brad Stevens back. I expect them to come out and play hard that game, and I think they're going to win that game. Tuesday in New York's a bit different. Playing at MSG is always a little bit difficult, even last season. The Knicks were terrible, and the Celtics played close games at the Garden. It's all about limiting Carmelo, and I guess Jay Crowder did a pretty good job last time, so that'll be a key matchup in that game.
Yeah, we got Sunday will be Chris Morrison, Rich Conte. We'll have the coverage immediately following the game. Then versus the Knicks, it's Backe and Warren Shaw. Then I'm back with you with Justin Poulin on Wednesday when the Celtics come home to face the Pacers, which will be a tough game as well. So stay tuned to CLNS Radio. We'll have the coverage for you. I'm Nick Gelso for Corey Prescott. Let's get the hell out of here, buddy.
All right, yeah, let's call it an early one, and, yeah, wait till Sunday.
Sounds good. Keep the faith, Celtics fans. I think it'll be all right. Let's not let me ask you one more question before we wrap. By the time we get back to Boston on Tuesday, next Tuesday, what is it, the following Tuesday? When the hell do we get back to Boston? We're not back
Wednesday.
In Boston until next Wednesday. Will David Lee still be on the team?
David Lee will still be on the team. There's nobody that's going to trade for him, and I don't think they're going to release him. But just on the whole, I think this is a long season. I mean, we saw it last year.
It's a long season.
Last year was a roller coaster. I mean, we went up and down. By the time the season ended, we were full of emotions. The team finished great in the regular season and then got swept by the Cavs to end the postseason. It really is an 82-game haul. And I don't want to say tonight was a scheduled loss, but they traveled overnight, the second half of a back-to-back, and they're playing without their head coach. So the loss isn't the most surprising thing, and I think they're going to be fine going forward.
That's a good way to end the show. So on that note, again, I'm Nick Gelso, CLNS_Nick. He's Corey Prescott. We'll catch you following the Celtics game in Memphis on Sunday. We're out of here.
Yeah, thanks, guys.